about it.
Let's talk about it.
Your boy's been a Christian quite a few years. Yeah. Victory in faith, but I failed in my fears. Man. I heard a lot
of
words.
What's up? What's up? Yeah, it's your boy. We back. We back. We back, man. You know we're going to hit you with the best, wrap up and review of, man, all the hot football that went on, man. Big Drake, so we had a couple games and a couple people that probably shouldn't have struggled seemed to struggle a little bit.
Yeah, they did.
It was a little surprising, man. Yeah, man. Looking at the Michigan score, here for the second week in a row, bro. Michigan coming out the gate playing UConn, who hadn't won a game all year, and they just barely beat them at the last second, man, 24-21.
Right now, looking at Michigan, they remind me of Auburn a few years ago. Because, you know, Auburn, we beat Georgia, and then we struggled against Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I
don't know if Michigan is just playing down to their schedule or their opponent, or they're so confused because the quarterback is wearing a D-tackle number, and then that's throwing everything off. So I don't know what's going on there.
Every time the running back line up behind him, he's like, Should I be out here? Am I out on defense? What is, oh, God. And they snapped the ball. Like, I don't know what to do. I should be running behind my D-tackle. And still stupid. We still did not get any emails or texts or anything clarifying why this is not the stupidest thing ever. So I'm just going to continue to tell it every week. When we take, I'm going to continue to say it's the stupidest thing ever. If you know any Michigan fans, text them, email them the show, tell them to listen so they can get angry and text us or email us. If you want to tell me something, tell me. Kingpin at MadeBeRadio.com. Big Drake at MadeBeRadio.com. Y'all have the stupidest idea ever that your quarterback wears your defensive tackle's jersey. It's stupid. Stop it so y'all can win a football game convincingly, please. I think it's helping the defense because the defense can't miss him. It's the dude with the stupid jersey. Tackle him. He got the ball. They can always see the football. You can't do fakes because it's sitting on the front of all those white numbers on the front of your jersey. If you had a 2 or a 3, the football may blend in because there'd be far more blue than white. But because you have number 98, there's predominantly white on the front of your jersey.
I don't know what it is. And if they would have gotten beaten by Akron, if Akron, is their head coach was once our head coach. So I guess you say they got some good. Yeah, they got Fat Bastard. That's the head coach. Speaking of Fat Bastard, where is Charlie Weiss coaching at?
Top 1 this weekend, I think Joe actually beat somebody.
Kansas.
No, he's at Arizona State, ain't it? Is it Arizona State?
Kansas.
Is it Kansas? Big Mike, another shout out to you. I told Big Mike, he noticed that every time we can't figure out something on the app,
yeah,
he shout him out.
Yeah.
Big Mike moment. I'm going to have to look that up. I'm going to have to go and pull the cards up. But I could have sworn Charlie Weiss was at Arizona State. But you may be right. It may be Kansas.
I think Arizona State is actually winning some games. So I know he ain't there.
Okay. Because where's Rich Rod at? Where's Rich Rodriguez? Is he at Arizona?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So it very well may be at Kansas. Let's see, Charlie White. But, dude, I was saying, though, so the other people that struggled this week Mack Brown, they didn't struggle this week, all right?
No.
Mack won convincingly this week, but I really got sick and tired of hearing all the discussion about whether or not you're right, Charlie Weiss is Kansas. I got tired of hearing all this about the Nick Saban talk, and they're talking about firing Mack Brown, which I don't know necessarily if they're gonna do that this year. I think within the next year to two, he will be gone. But so this week they talk about a source, again, Source Brothers, said that sources say that the regent, and I don't even know what regents means. I guess the alumni base of somebody, the secret cult of Texas, reached out to Nick Saban last year at the beginning of the season to reach out to Nick Saban's agent to gauge his interest if Mack Brown was no longer coaching. Now, this story to me had no legs. Did it happen? Yeah, I'm pretty positive it happened. But why wouldn't it happen? He's the hottest coach in football. Why would you not check to see if somebody was interested in coaching your football team?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And to call an agent doesn't mean anything whatsoever. But on the flip side, you know, even though I do not think Nick Saban is going to leave Alabama till he actually retires, because why would he? I mean, he's Jesus' son in Alabama.
Alabama is Jesus' son of football. That's team. It. Not that much.
And his son coaches. So why would he leave? Why would he leave that squad when he has everything he ever want there? Power, money, everything they got, he got there. But
you know what? The only thing I can think of is his ego may be that big.
I think his ego is that big to continue to dominate everybody where he at. I think his ego is that big to try to supplant Bear Bryant as the all-time greatest ever.
Well, for one, you know, Bear Bryant and Mack Brown not on the same page.
No.
He can go to Texas and pretty much do what he did because he's going to do it.
Yes.
And then that would just really show his college football's dominance. And we got to realize, before he came to Alabama, he was at Miami, and I distinctly remember a conversation very similar to this, you know, him being interviewed. I don't know what's going on. I am not going to be the head coach at Alabama. All right, so,
his statement was, I don't know how many other ways I can say this, fellas. I am not going to be Alabama's next head coach.
And next week, he rolled tied it up.
He was flying. He was getting off the plane with a briefcase full of $40 million.
and his excuse, you know, one of the things that he said in the interview, this recent one, I'm frankly too old to start somewhere new. Oh, come on, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, please. I mean, I would rather him just say, hey, I'm not going nowhere. And I know he said in the past, but reconfirm it. I'm not going nowhere.
Yeah.
If I go anywhere, it's going to be to my rocking chip because that's when I retire from Alabama.
That's right.
But to come up with an excuse, hey, I've never heard of this.
Yeah,
this is new to me, and you know, that's the investigative coming in me and watching his responses, his tone pitch, his verb phrases. All that plays in mind when people are lying. Not saying that he is going to go, but him to say, oh, I've never heard of this. I don't know what's going on. Like, come on, dude.
That
come on.
That was a lie, yeah.
Come on, dude. Come on.
It's like Maury Povich. That, sir, was a lie.
yeah, come on, man. Come on. And then to come up with the excuse, I'm way too damn old to start anywhere else. So that's, you know, if I was an Alabama fan, and you know, Alabama fans are pretty confident that he's not going anywhere. I'm an Auburn alum. I'm pretty confident he's not going nowhere. But after hearing what he said, I would have to wonder a little bit.
Because it's like, but why did he say it like that? Why, like you said, why not just say, I'm not going nowhere, I'm going to retire?
Yeah.
Because he always say him and what you call, I'm so happy. If you're so happy, then you, why don't you just go and use the word? You're going to retire there.
Now, if he had said that, look, yes, I know what they're talking about, but I'm not going nowhere. I talked to him, I told him to kick rocks, I'm retiring here.
Right.
Okay, bet. But the stuff he's saying reminds me so much of the stuff he said when he was with Miami that it's making me wonder.
Now, again, you Alabama fans, y'all going to think this is just wishful talk, you know, what we're saying. But you know deep in your heart, you are a little troubled. You are a little concerned. I personally don't think he's going nowhere, but you are a little concerned. When Saban starts talking. And so with that, man, Saban, they weren't as dominant as I expected them to. I'm not used to seeing an Alabama team play down to their competition. And it happened Saturday.
I didn't see the game, so I can't comment on it. But I'm thinking they didn't look as crisp. The one thing I do know is the head coach of Colorado State was the offensive coordinator there at Alabama.
This is true. He was the inside man.
He probably didn't want to embarrass his former coworker.
So you think he may have just called off the dogs? He went with a very conservative game plan?
I think so. He knew that their athletes were inferior to his athletes. You know what I mean? Okay, Colorado State don't have the same athletes that we have. So if we can run your base defense, your base offense, and beat these guys pretty easily instead of bringing out the heavy hitters. Because, you know, he could have done that. And when you're first place, when you start off the season at first place and you've already beat the likes of Texas A&M, you don't have to get those style points like we're talking about with Michigan.
Nah.
And, you know, not this past week because they played NC State, but the week before, how Clemson struggled. You know, they meet in the week before last, Louisville also struggled with Kentucky.
Yeah.
Who's Kentucky? Yeah. And, you know, those teams, if they're trying to climb this ladder,
they
got to get style points. And you got Alabama, who's already number one. There's only been one team, and yes, I'm biased, and if you don't like it, you can kiss my Rudy Boo, you know what. There's only been one team since the BCS has come out that has been number one, has won, and then been placed, knocked down to number two, and that was Auburn in their championship game.
Right.
They won and got knocked down to number two.
That's right.
So, if you got Alabama, as long as Alabama wins, they're not going to get knocked down. Even if they win against Florida Interpol, and they only beat them by 1 point, they're not
they're
moving.
They're still the number one team.
Yeah. You have Oregon, who I guess they are quote-unquote style point university. They're not going to move unless they lose. So your teams like Clemson and Louisville, you know, Bridgewater, they don't have to, in a sense, blow these teams out if they want to start creeping up the BCS, and they haven't been doing it.
Now, and we haven't talked about this yet, and it's still early, but if Oregon and Alabama win out, is there any doubt who plays for a championship?
Yeah.
Do you think there's any doubt?
No, not at all.
I don't care what nobody else's record is to me.
Yeah.
No matter what anybody else's record is, Alabama and Oregon went out, I won't see them play for the national championship. Because, again, it's early, but Oregon going to have Stanford. Oregon, unlike Louisville, has ranked opponents on their roster, on their schedule. And so I'm interested to see that. So you think he just called off the – well, now, I watched some of the plays. And to me, they just didn't look crisp. I mean, they looked stale. The passing, I mean, it looked like they were running the normal plays. I could see if they were just handing the ball off and, you know, kind of dunking. No, but they was going for it. But receivers were dropping the balls. They was hitting cats in the hands and they weren't catching it. He overthrew one or two people. I mean, they just didn't. I mean, A.J. McCarron was, he was 20 or 26. For 258, but I mean, they just didn't. And TJ, their leading rusher was TJ Yeldon, who had 49 yards.
Wow.
I mean, they just didn't look. They didn't look crisp. And it, like I said again, it may have been all of them a little nostalgic, I guess, of not wanting to embarrass him. But this is primetime football. You beat the pants off. Look, Florida State and Miami and their boys didn't take it easy. But again, they was beating black people, so they ain't care. So, I'm sorry for inputting race into it, but it had to come in at some point. So now we have the Auburn LSU game. Big Drake, do you take a moral victory here?
The competitor in me says no, you do not take a moral victory because I do believe, Updike said there's too much Bama in me.
Yeah.
It might be good too much Auburn in
too
me because I believed at one point we had a shot to
make
tie
it
the game up.
Interesting.
Yeah, make it even win. I'm such a believer. I'm like, dude, we can win this game. Anything can happen. We can win this game. So the competitive former player, 8-style personality says, no, we don't believe in moral victories, and I don't. But I will say this. After watching how the coaches never gave up coaching and how the players responded to the coaches not giving up coaching makes the future very bright for me, and I'm okay with it. Of course, do I want them to win? Of course. That goes unsaid. But the main problem we had last year is in the manner they were losing. Oh, if this had been a 2012 Auburn team, it would have been 82-0.
It would have been like we was FAMU. But did they play Auburn or Alabama A&M?
The team never gave up. They fought. Of course, I wish the quarterback could have played a little bit better. We had two key fumbles early on. Once the rain stopped, I think it helped us with the fast-paced offense. And LSU defense was what we like to call in the football world, sucking canal water. Yeah. They were tired.
They was tired. They was blowing buddy.
They were blowing. And, you know, I thought, of course, I'm biased. I thought we did get the onside kick. I think that would have helped us out, because at that particular time, our offense was clicking on all cylinders. We were moving the ball and we were scoring.
Yeah.
Now, the quarterback play, we got to get some better play out of him. And there was one point where he had just threw that interception, and he was sitting on the sideline looking like a retard. And somebody had, you know, our players walking clear as punches. I was just hoping somebody would have farted in his face.
Stop looking retarded. No, stop letting the Western world, stop letting the other sideline know you are retarded by looking retarded.
But saying all that, I'm pleased with the effort. I think even in the loss, minus the first half, I'm not going to put minus the first half. Even the loss, I think they represented the Auburn spirit well, saying no matter how down we are, no matter how bad we may have played, we're going to still continue to fight until even with 5 seconds left, you know, Gus was still coaching, the players were still playing. You know, last year, some coaches were saying stuff, and some dudes were like, so?
They had checked out.
Yeah, so. I don't take any moral victories from it, but I'm very happy about how we look, and I think the future is bright for them Auburn Tigers, man. I better watch out.
And again, we won the second half. It's just that first half we couldn't overcome.
Oh, man. I mean, we were driving the ball, man. I mean, that offense was clicking on all cylinders, and then we fumbled.
Yep.
And then, of course, they scored. Okay, this was, oh, Lord.
Hold on. Now, Big Drake, was it just me? I'm trying to think what player it was. I think it was that Jarvis Landry. When he caught the ball on the sideline and took off, did it not look reminiscent of an Alabama State player? I'm talking about our team. In the speed difference, though, do you remember seeing the play where he broke it?
I mean, that's like that.
Two plays. When he took off, he just it ain't even like he pulled away from them. It's like they stopped and he continued to run. I mean, it was ridiculous. I was like, oh my God, why are our defensive linemen playing cornerback? Oh no, that's a cornerback playing cornerback. What's this guy? It's like the guy hit turbo and our man had 25% energy left on PlayStation 3. That was a travesty. It makes me wonder this now. We've recruited tons of athletes. We've had great recruiting classes. But, Big Drake, I really question the amount of speed we have in the secondary. I mean, they were pulling away. I mean, when Hill would break one in the thing, I mean, first of all, you know, the safety had to be up at the line because the middle linebacker was comatose sitting there.
I'm going to ask our listeners to come up with a pool and a pledge. I want you to call into the Made Men Radio Show and pledge $25, $50, $75, $100.
Whatever you can sacrifice.
I whatever you can give up, because I'm going to need somebody to put some money on my book so I can make commissary, because I am going to straight up murder a college.
And you know what? He will not be missed.
I'm going to straight up murder him.
Oh, my God.
I need money on my books, so we still can tape the show, because you know those collect calls get a little pricey.
And we will go to one segment. We will go to one segment.
Yeah, I like to eat, so I'm gonna need to make commissary. I'm gonna need to make stove. But I think it'd be for the greater good of not just Auburn football, for every child that dreams of playing linebacker and strapping up being a middle Ray Lewis. I think it's just better for the football gods.
All I ask is when you sniper rifle him, is that Ryan White is standing directly behind him so that he can get travel pass and hit him too, so you get two and one stone.
I mean,
I'm so freaking tired of that dude celebrating nothingness.
Yeah. I mean, he did it so much after getting toasted a couple times that even the commentator said something. Like, okay, why is he cheering? He just got blasted for 98 yards. I don't know if you remember, but we need to replay the game on ESPNU or something. The commentator said he's a little extra excited after just getting toasted.
That was the play when they beat him deep and they called it back for some reason. It's like,
but now I know he had gotten beat. But a couple plays, even the next series, he made a good play. Like, the guy caught it. He was beat. The guy caught it, but at the last second, he swiped it out of his hand or whatever. Yeah. And he get up, beating his chest. I guess he's saying something to the offensive sideline. And I don't know. Once again, being a season ticket holder, man, that feels good. On the field, you can see him getting beat play after play. Because, you know, on TV, you can only see what they show you.
That's right.
Well, when you're at the stadium, you get to see the whole field. And Ryan White is notorious
consistently
for getting beat on double moves.
He's the new who was the dude that that got cut in the NFL because he should have never been in the NFL? We moved into safety.
Nico Thorpe.
Ryan White is the new Nico Thorpe.
We're going to keep a Nico Thorpe on our team, won't we?
And we're going to let him start. That's what I don't understand. I don't understand. And all these people that suck like this, we need to change these positions, all right? Ryan White should move to linebacker. You got to gain 50 pounds to go there, but you need to move to the linebacker. At least you won't get burnt at linebacker. You know what I'm saying? You can move your Jake Holland needs to gain 75 to 100 pounds and move to guard only on field goal.
What you need to do is move up in the stands and be a spectator. I don't want him on the team.
He should never be on the
field. I don't want him as a graduate assistant coach. I don't want him as a trainer, a water boy, an equipment manager. I don't want Jake Holland having no affiliation whatsoever with the Auburn University football type.
He's horrible. He is absolutely horrible. I mean, he is the worst, and I just have to wonder, how bad does everybody else look?
He has a video of Gus Miles on taking showers with little boys. That's the whole thing. And you know, it might not be Gus. It may be President Goode.
That's what I said. Because, I think it's higher up because he should have started last year.
because he started last year. he got President Goode. We see you.
We have cracked the code. The reason why Jake Holland is even playing football at all. Yeah, I absolutely don't understand it, brother. It blows my mind. But I'm like you. I was pleasantly surprised, though. I was happy with our performance overall. I felt like I felt like we were strong. We fought. We kept fighting. And I'm like you. You know, as retarded as it sounded, you know, after that first half, we came back at halftime and it stopped raining. We got our groove, and I'm like you. It sounded crazy, but third third going into the fourth quarter, I was like, hey, we may have a shot. These boys keep letting us score. We may have a shot to make this thing interesting.
Well, you know, it started off right because they come out, they throw interceptions.
Yep, we got
like,
the ball.
Wow, we got a turnover.
Right.
And then we just go down and score.
Easily.
I'm like, okay, that was pretty easy. Now, either LSU is playing soft or we get it rolling. I was just thinking about everything because the way it was playing out to be one of those ESPN instant classics, the one of the games that they're going to talk about for years and years, 30 years from now. They're going to bring all the players back and talk about it because you had the nasty monsoon that happened to begin with. Auburn pretty much beating themselves. When I say beating themselves, now, that Mr. Hill, he was running over everybody first half. As far as the turnovers, our punter get the ball directly in his hand and just drop it like he was a hot potato or something.
That was some very unusual for our punter.
Oh, man. So as bad as we played the first half, so it's a blowout. It's raining. The fans leave. I mean, the stadium was empty.
It was empty.
And then them Auburn Tigers come on back to win. I'm like, that's one of the reasons why I felt that there was a possibility that we could win because our offense was clicking, and it just would have made a good start. The rain, the fumbling. Mr. Hill had 900 yards on two carries. The fans leave. It's empty. This desert valley becomes wet valley, and then Auburn wins.
But then Captain Retard show back up. So
it didn't happen.
Wasn't it be? All right, Big Drake, got our picks for the week, man. We got a couple actually decent slate of games coming up. All right, VTech and G-Tech. Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech?
You taking Tech? That's at
Georgia Tech.
Huh? You taking Georgia Tech?
Georgia Tech, yes.
Okay, that's at it's in Atlanta.
Virginia Tech lost
tonight. No, Virginia Tech ain't lost yet. They 3-0.
Oh, Virginia Tech lost
to
Alabama.
Oh, they did. Why is this showing 3-0? Is this old? No, this is not new. You're right. What they have listed on here, Virginia Tech 3-0.
Dude, they lost to Alabama, and then they lost to some, like, Division II school last week.
Maybe Virginia Tech is 0-3. Maybe they flipped that.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it probably is.
My bad. I picked Georgia Tech, too, then.
Yeah.
I knew about the Alabama loss, but, yeah, they threw me off on that. Okay, when they mentioned that game. All right, so then the other game, one of the other games is, I'm going to leave that one for close to the end. Who is Alabama? Alabama and Ole Miss.
I think that this is going to be a real good game.
I do, too.
I think Ole Miss is going to give Alabama more than what they're bargaining for. I still think Alabama's going to win. So Alabama's my pick. But, you know, like ESPN said, Alabama is on upset alert.
Yeah, I think Alabama's going to win, too. But I think it's going to be tight. It's going to be by a touchdown or less.
Yeah, it's a good game, man.
It is, because I think that defensive end for Ole Miss, that freshman, is going to give Alabama's offensive line fits all night long. They better bring their lunch pail, baby. They better bring their lunch pail, because he coming to play football. Their quarterback, well, heck, Drake, they gave him trouble last year.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
Bo knows football. Bo Wallace gave him trouble last year.
Yeah.
They don't have no mobile quarterbacks that well. You know, Johnny Manziel continue to run all over them. I'm with you. Alabama, I think, is on the upset alert. And I'm so happy that Ole Miss plays Alabama right before they play us. We got the week off. You got to play Bama, then you got to come see us. Well, we got to come see you. But I'm glad that Ole Miss has Bama before that. So with that being said, I kind of hope they don't beat Bama, though, because that'd be too much pressure. Too much pressure. There was one other good game, Wisconsin and Ohio State. Ohio State was at Ohio State. Wisconsin 3-1. I don't remember who Wisconsin lost to, though.
They lost that controversy. No, they lost to a controversy.
Yeah.
Arizona State was kind of scared to near the ball to kind of just line it up in the middle for the field goal kicker, and the defensive lineman pops on the ball and just lay there while the clock is ticking, and the official, he didn't do nothing. He just like stood there until the time ran out.
Yeah, I remember that call.
Yeah, so.
So, who are you taking?
I'm going to Ohio State, man. You know, Ohio State hadn't lost in like 15 games.
Yeah. And even with the quarterback out, it's kind of like they had missed a beat.
Well, he's reportedly going to start this week.
Oh, is he? It wouldn't have mattered. I still pick him because the other quarterback would be just as good, if not a little better. So
I agree.
Oklahoma, Notre Dame.
I'm going to Oklahoma.
It's at Notre Dame.
Notre Dame ain't what they once were. And, you know, I'm looking picks off of football. Now, when I watch the game, I will be going for Notre Dame. I will. But I know people hate that. I will.
Yeah, debate. You're gonna bet Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I'm with you there. I think they're a shadow of themselves. All right, so the big game to pick this week is LSU and Georgia. Now, my coworker's an LSU fan, but he's a cool guy. He's not even from here. He's from Ukraine or somewhere. And so he came over and talked to me and said, you know, oh, your guys, they played well. I was like, yeah, we was in there. And I had told him last week, I said, I think we'll lose, but I don't think we'll get blown off the field. And so I told him, I said, no, I said, I was happy with our performance and the way we kept fighting. You know, so we talked about the game. He said, so who do you pick this week? We got Georgia. I said, I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't put my – I said, all my other picks, I've been straight. I said, I would not bet on this game because I don't think there's definitive – I don't think there's definitive better team.
Where is it going to be at?
The game is played at Georgia.
I'm picking Georgia.
And this is what I told him. I said, if I had to pick a team and I'm going to have to on my pick'em sheet, I'm going to pick Georgia – I only because this is Mark Richt's MO. I tell people all the time, this is what he do. He cannot handle expectation at the start of the season, and then he builds it back up during the season. So he just can't have nobody ready to play, but then he can get them to play during the middle of the season. So this is a perfect setup. But I picked Georgia too, but I do think it's all going to come down to the two quarterbacks. Whoever throws the most picks or can't protect the ball is the one that loses.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those games that – because remember, Georgia does have several people that are hurt. You know, they got their wide receiver out, and I think they missing a couple people on defense. But again, I think that Georgia still – being at home and the fact that this is what Mark Richt do.
I mean, that dog on girly. I mean –
oh, my God.
I know LSU has heel. But, you know, really after that first half, he shut Hill down.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I think Hill was running the way he was running.
Because
Jake Holland was in there. And I'm pretty sure they made some defensive adjustments, having a guy here, having a guy there. But I could have ran through those holes. You could have ran those holes. When Gurley get that ball, sometimes he makes nothing out of something. Yeah. I mean, he don't make nothing out of something. He made nothing into a 60-yard touchdown.
Best back in the SEC to me.
I think he's the best back in the country. I'm gonna give it to him, dude. That dude is amazing.
He's a beast.
You say how big he is?
Yeah.
He's huge. His size, he has tree trunks of size, but he has sprinter speed. He reminds me of two players. That's Bo Jack and Herschel Walker.
Yeah, I'm probably in agreement with you. I think I may would agree. Yeah, I'm going to go out. He may be the best back in football, period, including NFL right now. I mean, he may be better than a lot of the running backs in the NFL right now. I mean, that kid is – he a beast. And you know what? This, again, is one of the things that kind of angers me, kind of off to what we talked about last week. And he has to wait another year. He cannot go to the NFL. I think it's a travesty.
He has to be a junior?
Yeah, he has to be a junior.
And you know a couple players on several different teams, they had, what was it?
APU?
Yes.
Yep, All Players United or something like that? Yeah, I seen
that. Because the report came out about Arian Foster, what right. he did. And you know, I've said this time and time again. And we've discussed it several times on the show, that it's just a travesty, you know, how these kids are put in particular situations. You know, they don't have enough money to eat, depending on their family geographic. They may, in high school, have been somewhat the breadwinner, have a high school job, or have a high school job that was illegal in order to provide food for their siblings and mothers. And you mean, most of these kids don't grow up like Johnny Manziel.
Nope, they don't.
And for them to say, hey, coach, I need money to eat. I need money to pay my rent. I mean,
Arian Foster said he called his coach and said, I need to. You either give me some money to get some. You either give us some money to get some food, or we gonna do something stupid.
Yeah,
he said that's what I told him. Either give me some money to get something to eat, or we gonna do something stupid. So, like rob somebody, you know?
Yeah,
like the Auburn players or the Auburn players. So
and I'm gonna say this. Hopefully, I mean, I doubt we don't have any NCAA investigators listening, but we had. I like to call them parents. When I was on the football team, we had parents, football parents, and you know who I'm talking about, I'm not going to say no names, that if we were hungry because we didn't have any money, they would, you know, make sure we were fed. Yep. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Yep. And it's a shame that that even has to be brought up. Hey, I need to make sure I have something to eat when this university is making millions on stack of millions.
Because Arian Foster, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, and look at me. I mean, I'm with nobody.
Right.
I mean, I'm with nobody. So just think for the people that are not your Arian Fosters, that are not, I'm just going to say Johnny Manziel because of his clout as far as football, not his background, but just his clout. You know, you may not have somebody that will say, okay, well, this is this person, and he's very prominent on this team. I'm going to make sure he has something to eat. Because those players are more than likely easily helped out than people like me who, you know, I'm barely on the team. You know what I mean? But because I am on the team, you have people that will look out for you and say, hey, you need to eat. I'm going to make sure you eat. Yeah. So I doubt the family is listening, but they know who they are. I thank you.
Yeah. And I'm like you. I mean, he said they get $87 a month at the end of the month after the tuition and all that stuff was paid.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got free meals Monday through Friday, but Saturday and Sunday you were on your own.
Yes, Saturday, Sunday, Sue, for those that don't know, was the athletic dorm at Auburn University with the kitchen in it. So, you know, now you ain't good Monday through Friday now.
But you ain't doggone good Saturday and Sundays.
And it was well known. I mean, we would have discussions about it, about how, because every morning before workouts, even during the season, you had small workouts just to keep the blood going, get the soreness out. Every morning, you had to weigh in, or every afternoon, you had to weigh in, depending on what part of the season you're in. Or, excuse me, what part of the year you're in. Because football season, of course, you practice in the afternoon. Off season, you practice in the morning. Anyway, you weigh in Monday through Friday. Come Friday, you're at a certain weight. Come Monday, you're more than likely then lost 5 or 6 pounds. And you're like, 5 or 6 pounds, that's a lot. But, you know, we're athletes and water weight. 5 or 6 pounds, and then I've literally lost 18 to 20 pounds after a practice. And it's just water weight and all that other foolishness. But you weigh in Monday, and everybody is considerably 5 or 6 pounds less. And the talk was, well, you know, Sue will close on the weekend. How you going to eat? You know, I ain't got no money to eat, so I don't eat.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's the whole team.
That's crazy, bro. Biggest form of prostitution there is. I still contend.
Yeah.
Biggest form of prostitution there is.
So it's sad, man. It really is.
$87 to survive 8 days, because two weekends for 4 weeks. So, yeah, $87 for the month. 8 days. That's $10 a day. $10 a day.
Lunch and dinner.
Yeah, that's what I said. This is not that little white woman in Africa. 67 cents a day does not feed a
farmer. Yeah, we're talking about top-notch athletes.
We're not talking about top-notch athletes. 300 pounders. $10 a day? That's a meal.
Yeah, it really is.
This was before dollar menu.
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
You know, that's a travesty, man. All right, man. Hey, listen, y'all come on back. Now, last week we did not get to hit you with an NFL talk, so we're going to talk about a little NFL talk today. This week we're going to give you a little bit. Hey, I also want to hit me and the wife. We got to catch a movie this weekend, and I want to talk about it. Absolutely phenomenal movie. Phenomenal. I want to tell everybody about it, man. I want you to go out there and check it out, man, and see it. If y'all like us, you're going to beat the rush now because all the black folk that went seen it, because there wasn't number like three other white couples sitting there when we went in there. So it was a great time. I was laughing and talking, cutting up all by myself. So come on back, man. We're going to tell you about that, man, and we'll hear some NFL talk, man. It's your boy, Kingpin, Big Drake, Made Men Radio Show. You know how we do. The truth, the whole truth, and
Jesus Christ anointed one ascended in the ear. Or you can say the air where the Father made him heir. Of all things, the throne, no, it's more than a chair. But after our redemption, yes, he did take a chair. Greater than the angels, named superior to theirs. This is Hebrews,
chapter 1, Mysticator.
I'm leaning to the right, the light is where I'm running. I thought I wanted light, drunk, sexed out, and blunted. But all I really wanted was the one who really wanted. Fuck death. Gave his life to the public. I love it. I love it.
This world like I'm from the planet Mars. I love to preach Jesus, you can read it in my bar. I'm pretty straight fire when I'm speaking about my lard. He paid the sin price being beat by Roman guard. But when he resurrected, gave us life free of charge. Now me and my buds need to be in a psych ward, cause we went crazy for God, our lives were scarred. Now in the book of life, our names have been written down. We're casting our crowns before his feet on the ground. It's such a holy melody and a heavenly sound. Hearing holy, holy, holy coming from out of the mouth of the four living creatures by his throne all around. Can you picture the scene that this is how it's going down? You just need a little faith and a new set of eyes and a telescopic lens to look in and see God.